John 13:18-30. Judas. Hear the word of the Lord today. Welcome back to Friends Bible Study. Our goal is to help ordinary believers grow as disciples of Jesus, to make disciples of Jesus, and to equip them for every good work through the word of God. A disciple is someone who knows Jesus, follows Jesus, learns from Jesus, and is becoming like Jesus. Please follow our Friends Bible Study basic approach. Read, write, share, and listen. This is week 2 of our study in John chapter 13. Today we will look at verses 18 to 30 entitled Judas. Again, today I encourage you to prepare your heart to hear the word of the Lord. I have been sharing in these opening statements in our study of John 13 about the centrality of loving and serving others, which is the central theme of John 13. I have emphasized, no matter what passage we study, a central part of our application and obedience to God should focus on loving others. I will share 3 verses that illustrate this message. Galatians 5:14. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 7:12. Do to others what you would have them to do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. And Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. If we love others, we will fulfill everything God commanded us to do in the Bible. On the other hand, if we do not walk in love, we will not do God's will or fulfill the purposes he has for us. Therefore, every day, as part of our meditation on the scriptures, we should ask, how can I love and serve others today? Let's pray. Father, your word teaches that the entire law is summed up and fulfilled in the one command to love others. Fill us with your love today. Show us who to love and how we can love them. May the scriptures we read daily motivate and guide us to walk in love. Amen. And may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. John 13:18-30, Judas. This passage describes a very dark moment when Jesus was with his disciples just before he was arrested and crucified. Judas had already decided to betray Jesus. Not only that, but it says Satan entered him. The powers of evil and darkness sought to put an end to the kingdom of God by killing Jesus with the aid of Judas. Their plan backfired. They did not understand that this was part of God's plan to bring salvation to the whole world and to free them from Satan's rule. Judas, John 13:18-30. Let's begin with verse 18. I don't speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Quotation from Psalm 41, verse 9. And then verse 19. From now on, I tell you before it happens, that when it happens, you may believe that I am he. Most certainly, I tell you that he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. In verse 18, Jesus quoted Psalm 41:9. Yes, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate bread with me, has lifted up his heel against me. Jesus wanted his disciples to know that everything that happened, including his betrayal and crucifixion, was part of God's plan to redeem the world and bring eternal salvation to those who believe. These events were not random acts that happened at the whim of individuals like Judas, but were foretold by the prophets. His betrayal was one of many events clearly predicted in the scriptures. Jesus said that he was telling them about these things before they happened, so that when it happens, you may believe that I am he. I am the one the scriptures spoke about. Meditation question. In verses 18 to 20, Jesus told his disciples that everything that would happen had been foretold. How did this help them to believe that Jesus was the Messiah? It would have been hard to believe that Jesus was the Messiah after he was arrested, tortured, mocked, and crucified. These all seem like human acts of anger and hate. However, after Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples remembered that the scriptures predicted everything that had happened to Jesus. The prophets wrote hundreds of years before Jesus came, giving specific details of what would happen. These prophecies testify to people of all time that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Verse 20, most certainly I tell you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Meditation question. What does our response to messengers Jesus sends to us reveal about us? Why did Jesus say these words here? He spoke similar words on other occasions. For example, in Matthew 10:40, Jesus said, whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. I think Jesus was using this chaotic occasion to build his disciples' faith and share the gospel in the future, or to share the gospel in the future. He is the Messiah, and they were his disciples. He wanted them to have strong faith in him and know he was sending them in his name. Those who received them were receiving him. Jesus wanted them to know that they were his representatives sent by him. Verse 21, when Jesus had said this, he was troubled in spirit and testified, most certainly I tell you that one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another perplexed about whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was at the table leaning against Jesus' breast. Verse 24, Simon Peter beckoned to him and said, tell us who it is of whom he speaks. He, leaning back as he was on Jesus' breast, asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus therefore answered, it is to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Why did Jesus dip the bread and give it to Judas? Why not just say, Judas is the one who will betray me? Perhaps Jesus was keenly aware of Satan's presence at work in Judas. Jesus was not just thinking of Judas when he said this. He was allowing Satan to use Judas to accomplish the Father's will. Satan and the hordes of demons thought they had won, but they did not understand the deeper wisdom of God. What they thought was victory was, in fact, their ultimate defeat. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 and 8, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the wisdom that has been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds for our glory, which none of the rulers of this world had known. For had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. If they had known that the cross was God's plan and what it would accomplish, they would not have crucified Jesus. But they did not understand and unwittingly accomplished the Father's will and sealed their doom. Verse 27, after the piece of bread, then Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Now, nobody at the table knew why he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus said to him, buy what things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Therefore, having received that morsel, he went out immediately. It was night. Meditation question. Why do you think Satan entered Jesus after he received the bread from Jesus? We do not know how the writer of John, the Gospel of John, knew that Satan entered Jesus at that point, but certainly Jesus knew and later explained what was happening to his disciples, probably after the resurrection. Who was Jesus talking to when he said, what you do, do quickly? I think he may have been talking both to Judas and to Satan. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him at Satan's bidding and said, do it right away. That is when Satan entered Judas. None of the other disciples understood what was going on. They thought Jesus might be sending Judas out to get supplies for the Feast of Passover. However, in the spiritual world, something dark and sinister was happening. Judas had decided to betray Jesus. Jesus acknowledged this and said to Judas and Satan, go ahead and do it. Jesus' decision opened his heart to evil, and Satan himself indwelled him. Then in verse 30, it says, it was night. The hour of darkness was very near. Jesus had told his disciples a couple of times to work while there is light, because a time of darkness would come when they could do nothing. The night had come. The darkness was enveloping the world. Verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify himself, and he will glorify him immediately. Meditation question. What was Jesus talking about when he said he would be glorified and that God would be glorified in him? Verses 32 and 31 and 32. Jesus said these words in verse 32, right after Judas left. The time for Jesus to be glorified and for the Father to be glorified through him had come. Satan thought that by killing Jesus, he had won. However, what Satan thought was victory was not victory. Not only became his ultimate defeat, but it also resulted in Jesus and his Father being glorified. Jesus mentioned his glorification several times previously in the Gospel of John, as we have discussed. The time had come, even though the disciples did not yet understand what he meant. Jesus and the Father were eternally glorified through the cross. Jesus died as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. God revealed his Father's heart, compassion, grace, mercy, and humility through the cross for time and eternity. The cross reveals the glory of God. When people see the glory of the cross, they can do nothing but bow and worship. Let's pray. O Lord, help us to see the glory of the cross. Through the cross, you revealed your love, power, and mercy for us. Through the cross, you forgave our sins and triumphed over the powers of hell. Through the cross, you defeated the kingdom of darkness and shined the light of eternal salvation into the hearts of mankind. Reveal your glory in the cross to this broken world. In the name of our Savior and Lord, amen.